Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm a man of wealth and taste, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. PSG and Dortmund go through and Pompey are promoted. It's Wednesday, 17th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushan Hundaraja.
Hello, everybody. It's a wonderful Wednesday, as always, on the Football Ramble. And thanks to friend of the Ramble, Simon, for giving us that intro line. You can be the one. You can submit the intro line for next Wednesday's show by signing up to the Football Ramble Patreon for just $5 a month. You'll also get ad-free versions of the Ramble, OTC and upfront, as well as an extended version of every Wednesday Ramble. On today's Ramble Uncut, we're hearing about perhaps the greatest blimp in sporting history. It's all blimping up.
It's all taking off.
Yes, exactly. Jim, thank you for filling in where I failed. So you'll find out about that and much more. Just head to patreon.com/footballramble to listen. Gentlemen, we are duty-bound to go to last night's Champions League action. Barcelona 1, Paris Saint-Germain 4. They are through, Jim Campbell. They are through. Paris Saint-Germain, is it their year?
It might be their year to get to the final.
I see. They've done it before.
They have.
Perhaps they'll do it again. What a match.
It was an incredible match, wasn't it? I mean, Barcelona seemed to have replaced PSG as the sort of business end of the Champions League banter club, which they'll be gutted by, frankly.
Yeah.
Despite PSG's best efforts to be that in the first leg.
Yes, very much so. I really thought, as is so often the case, that you look at these fixtures and you think it's probably going to be Barcelona and it's probably going to be Atletico. But so often the Champions League throws up these topsy-turvy fixtures. And it was a great example of that as well. Obviously, Xavi's completely right. The sending off changed the game just immeasurably. But there was a sense, I think, that apart from maybe about 5 minutes directly after the red card, where you thought, actually, Barcelona looked pretty together, maybe they will be able to weather this. I think the problem is in a match like that, and this would have been the same for anyone across any of the fixtures, is that these games are played at such a breakneck pace.
Yeah.
They're so much faster than a regular game because you've got two elite teams going at each other at top speed.
And the pace of PSG as well. The context.
Of course, yeah. So you've got generally pacey teams at their top speed. And PSG just didn't slow the game down.
No.
And I think that was very smart in a way, actually, because they thought, you know what? we're probably better off overwhelming Barcelona here because they had to score three goals, right? I think they deserve an immense amount of credit for just essentially just not letting Barcelona have anything their way after that. They took the initiative and it just seemed inevitable. And it was just, apart from a couple of times where Robert Lewandowski saw the headlines and maybe could have done better, they just really turned the screw.
They did. And Xavi was very angry.
He was, yeah. Enjoyably angry, actually.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I think if I was a Barcelona fan, I'd have liked it.
I wanted to, you know, with some of the clips of him going a bit nuts, I wanted to Chiellini him, like, you know, pick him up and ruffle his hair.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, pull his shirt, grab him by the neck. Yeah.
But the, you know,
it is like, the story of the Xavi.
But Jim's point is spot on, because I felt like if the roles were reversed, and I suppose it's a throwback to that, you know, famous game that they played out a few years ago, I don't think PSG would have been able to hold on to it, because this actually suited the fact that they have quite a fast team and they constantly move forward.
Quite
it worked
fast.
Quite well. Yeah. But it worked quite well for them, like I suppose that element of desperation as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I couldn't really get my head around was, like, the Barcelona home game where the fans are anxious.
Yeah.
And, like, fearful, you know, like, obviously we know what's happened with this iteration of Barcelona, but the idea that PSG were able to run, like, roughshod over them and, like, the I suppose, like, the identity of Barcelona as well, I thought it was really, really eerie in a way.
It's definitely a game where they miss Camp Nou. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Because it's funny, obviously they're playing in Montjuic, they will be until the end of this calendar year, maybe a bit later, you know, builders, etc., etc.
Money as well, Andy. They're not good with money.
This is separate from normal Barcelona money. It's a separate project.
It's a separate lever.
Yes.
All right.
So,
see, they've got to you as well.
Yeah, that's right. But I think you can not underestimate how damaging playing at Montjuic has been for this season, because it's a far smaller ground that the locals don't like, so they can't fill up.
Quite far away from the pitch and all that kind of cliche.
Yeah, that too, as well, but quite physically far away from the centre of Barcelona. It's a bit of a ball ache to get out there, and people just don't like it, as well as the fact
Spanish
that it's associated with Espanyol as well.
Spanish fans famously don't travel. I mean, if you go to a Madrid derby, there's like 200 Atletico Madrid fans if it's at the Bernabeu and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we are talking about home game here, obviously.
No, but it's true, though. They, you know, they don't fancy it, Andy.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the interesting thing about this is it wasn't sold out.
And that is amazing, isn't it?
Obviously, part of that is the fact that the locals are so not into it.
We're not giving you our money. You can't be trusted with it.
Yeah, exactly. the ticket prices are pitched squarely at tourists. So you could get a ticket yesterday morning. Cheapest ticket, this isn't in hospitality, behind the goal, €349. Oof.
Couldn't happen to a nicer club.
Yeah.
You were talking about angry...
It's more than a club, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also a building site.
It's more than €300 is what it is.
Well, look, I mean, it's... We've mentioned PSG, and they do... Look, they've gone through, they've scored four goals, so they do deserve credit. And they are playing a good team. I think this idea that this Barcelona team is crap, they're in the Champions League because they won the league last season. They are second behind a very good Real Madrid side.
Yeah, their quality was on display even when they were chasing the game.
Exactly, yeah. You look at some of the players, they go, you know. But I still wasn't convinced by PSG. I don't know what it was. I think that
the game was turned by the red card, perhaps.
Well, perhaps, yeah.
It's impossible to get a proper measure, isn't it? Because they're not playing against.
They were better than last week, but that doesn't mean they're amazing.
But Jim said it there. You know, he'll think they'll get to the final. Basically, most people will think that the winner of this tournament will be from the other side of the draw. In a specific fixture on the other side of the draw. But, you know, I mean, you never know in a one-off game, of course. But what did you think about PSG, Andy?
I thought what Vish was saying and what Jim was saying, actually, it's clear that actually without Messi and Neymar, it's much easier to put yourself in a position to win the Champions League because they're much more athletic.
So you rate them, do you? You think that this is...
I think this is a transitional season for them.
Right, okay.
And they're making the most of the fact that they've been drawn in the weaker half of the draw and there are a lot of other European giants in sort of quite uncertain times. So
I think that's a fair way of
Bayern, for example, are not the best Bayern. this is it's not a rubbish Barcelona, but it's not the best Barcelona. Real Madrid even are building towards something.
Yeah, Manchester United already out.
And all the rest of it. Yeah, exactly. But I think the point about Xavi going nuts is quite interesting. Funnily enough, he did exactly the same thing in the last round against Napoli, but didn't get a red card for it. Like, he kicked that exact bit of Champions League branding by the side of the pitch.
You cannot do that.
Apparently not. Yeah. Certainly not from the quarterfinals onwards. But what I'm enjoying more is İlkay Gündoğan turning into Roy Keane. Because, like, afterwards, where he said, oh, we gifted the game to PSG. Not the first time he's got stuck into his teammates this season. Mm-hmm. He said Araujo would have been better just letting Barcola go clean through than getting the red card. Mm.
And then he sold him to stick it up his bollocks, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that why he had his dog with him?
He's currently on a long walk.
It wasn't a post-match press conference. He was getting doorsteps.
Yeah. Well, PSG have never come back to win a Champions League title after losing a first leg. So again, you've got to give credit. They have gone through. Luis Enrique predicted they would do it before the game. Yeah, he looked like he had...
He's a dog with a number of appendages.
Yeah, and he'd had his head ruffled as well.
Yeah,
you know,
he's very salty, isn't he? Before games, Luis Enrique. I sort of enjoy that about him because actually in this competition, particularly at this stage and against this opposition, PSG need confidence. They really, really need it. It seems silly to say that about a team like them, and he's injected them with that there.
Mm-hmm. Well, guy who's done it.
Well, absolutely.
It feels like their, you know, I suppose, like their confidence and their state of, I suppose, essentially their morale as a team has been beholden to individuals. And if he, as a manager, is able to instill that throughout the whole team, that's a huge thing. Even a result like this, they'll, you know, 10 years' time, they'll look back on it and think, oh, you know, but we did that. We did that against the Barcelona team. We are, you know, big time.
Do remember, though, that this scoreline, 4-1, that PSG have beaten Barcelona by, is the same scoreline that Newcastle beat PSG by early on in the season, lest we forget.
down to 8 men and 2 children.
That happened. Big Dan Burn scored against that lot.
Yeah, it feels a long time ago, doesn't it?
It feels like a long time ago, Jim. You're absolutely right. And of course, they will play Borussia Dortmund in the semi-final, who are also in Newcastle United's group. It could so easily have been Eddie Howe's men, if that's how football works, which I'm not sure it does. But yes, Dortmund beat Atletico Madrid 4-2, 5-4 on aggregate, of course, in a fascinating tie in Germany. And of course, like PSG, Dortmund were trailing coming into that second leg of this tie. And I remember watching the first leg, as I'm sure a lot of people did, and Atletico blew them away in that first half an hour, well, first half, really, you could say, and perhaps should have been maybe more than 2-0 up by the end of the game.
No, perhaps about it. How you can start a tie like this and end up losing it, it's of all Atletico's Champions League disappointments, I think this is the worst.
You reckon that's up there?
Yeah, well, it is. And, you know, they've had those, you know when you sort of can't... The wider world can't quite get to the fact that teams have changed from their vintage selves.
Yeah.
So Barcelona have changed from their vintage selves. Yeah. And Atletico have changed from the team that got to the 2014 and 2016 finals. Because obviously they're an absolute mess at the back. But also they now have serial sort of form for making a mess of great Champions League opportunities. So you think of the COVID year when they went out to Leipzig. When they had it all in their hands. You think of the year before where they were 2-0 up from the first leg against Juventus and then they absolutely capitulated to Ronaldo in the second leg. And this is perhaps worse than either of those from an Atletico perspective.
Well, especially having got themselves back into a position of going through, because away from home, you know, they have been not that great. You know, the home form in the Champions League, there are examples where it's been that fortress and they've done enough to go through. And you think to yourself, okay, well, they'll be playing for a draw in Dortmund. And they had it in their hands, but then Dortmund and their home crowd thought, no, I think we'll take this.
It's a pretty chaotic game, wasn't it? It started with Dortmund missing a really good chance, and then Alvaro Morata missing a really good chance almost immediately. I think that was in the first 5 minutes. There was a sense straight away, like, this is going to be pretty back and forth and quite topsy-turvy, and so it proved to be. I thought Julian Brandt in particular stood out, and Sabitzer as well.
The pair
of them seemed to be absolutely everywhere.
Brandt made a difference when he came on in the first leg. Mm. And so perhaps maybe, you know, they thought, well, perhaps we should start him. But yeah, and Sabitzer. Sabitzer with a howitzer to win the tie, Vish, a player that you will remember, of course.
I actually quite liked him, obviously because of what he did at Leipzig before. But yeah, I was like, oh, this could go quite well. And obviously it didn't, but that's no reflection on him at all.
None at all.
Yeah. How good is Maddison, by the way?
Yeah.
The idea really that you can get a loan player in from Chelsea of all teams and he ends up being so important to your offense.
Well, they've also got a loan man in from Manchester United, of course.
Yeah.
In the form of Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, that's
he's having a lovely Champions League time.
He is, yeah. I hope he's happy, Jadon.
Oh dear. Could go on and win it. Wouldn't that be something?
Maybe it would be, yeah.
He's working hard to impress whoever the next manager is, though, so
that is it. Would he be welcome back at Manchester United if he turned up at the end of the season, Champions League winner's medal around his neck? All right, lads, what have you been up to?
I mean, in all seriousness, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah. This is it.
You'd genuinely be foolhardy not to.
If he came back with a winner's medal of the Champions League and he just went, is it me or Eric, boys? You've got to decide.
am I still having my lunch outside then, is it?
Yeah.
In the hallway?
Oh, I tell you what, the reserve team will be wanting to have a photo with this, won't they?
Chocolate coin for pudding.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But, they're in the semi-final. And both sides, you would say, this is a winnable tie for each of them.
You think?
Do you think PSG?
I think PSG are probably favourites here.
They will be favourites.
But because of the nature of this game, they let Atletico back into it. Obviously, the own goal's a little bit unfortunate, but they still did it. Mm. And it was just very open, wasn't it? PSG are probably quite set up to they can play that game and they can score more.
Mm.
And I think they might also have the ability to contain Dortmund more than Dortmund will have to contain them.
And they're closer to being organised as well, PSG. I mean, Dortmund are chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, what made this Dortmund-Atletico tie, especially this game, so much fun is that they're like fun drunks, aren't they? Atletico used to be mean drunks and now they're fun drunks. I think it's fair.
But they don't
say.
Want to be that, do they?
No, they definitely don't want to be that. Diego Simeone doesn't want them to be that.
Yeah, it's like he's walking around the party going, oi, stop having a laugh, sober up.
But I think if you look at Dortmund's individuals, are excellent. And that's why they thrive in cups as opposed to the league
this
under Edin Terzic. Because overall, I don't really see where the strategy is. I don't really see where the plan is. But they've got these high-quality individuals that can produce these high-quality moments.
Mm. Mm. Who would you fancy for it then, Andy? Straight away, if I may ask.
PSG.
Yeah, okay.
Like I said, more organised.
Yeah, it would be quite something. It would be... I know big fans of big clubs don't like... people like me saying this, it would be good for football if Dortmund got to the final.
I think before this game, though, and maybe this was just me, but I think it's fairly indicative of what a lot of people would have thought. You'd have looked at these ties and thought it's Barcelona and Atletico going through. So actually, you don't know, do you? When you get to the business end, the away goals being taken away does seem to have made it a little bit more open.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a great point, yeah.
You don't know. Even if PSG seem like the favourites to us, we keep learning that we do. We simply cannot predict the future.
We can't. There was some good news for Atletico Madrid, though.
They're not wearing that kit ever again.
Oh, I know. What was that about?
Diego Simeone is going to play Kramer in the new side. He looks more like Kramer every week, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. God. Bursting into the dressing room.
Age happens to us all, gentlemen. Barcelona losing means that Atletico have confirmed their spot at the Club World Cup in 2025. They've done it. They've made the big one.
It's funny. It's easy to overlook because of all the clubs that would have wanted to be in the Club World Cup the most, Barcelona would be up there. Atleti only a little bit behind them.
Because of the money.
Because they're a financial mess as well. And obviously it's overshadowed by Barcelona's levers, as Bish was saying.
Okay. Would anybody want their club?
I guess you'd have to treat it as like a pre-season. I mean, maybe obviously what FIFA want over time is that it will have huge prestige and everyone will want to be involved. But I think until that proof emerges from the pudding.
Yes.
Yeah, it just looks like a huge burden, doesn't it?
Have they not learned from the Confederations Cup?
They don't learn. They don't need to learn.
That's true. Although, actually, I quite like the
Confed
Cup.
They forget all the time.
Scrooge McDuck swimming around the vault, aren't they? No learning in there.
Every day is not a school day. All right, let's come back to domestic matters. Portsmouth sealed promotion in dramatic style last night, we have to say. Came back from 2-1 down to beat Barnsley 3-2. The 89th minute goal from Connor Shaughnessy was enough to get Portsmouth back into the Championship for the first time since 2010. 12.
Very exciting, and they made it unnecessarily dramatic.
Yeah, but great stuff.
It's better that way, though.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Mm. Maybe like, how do we guarantee a pitch invasion? We'll probably get one. How do we absolutely guarantee one?
Let's give them a head start. Because we need to win today, don't we? Well we can win. Nah, let's do it today. let's do it in the last minute.
That's it. Of course, they could have decided it on Saturday.
Yeah.
But to do it at home and to do it in this fashion is more exciting.
People always say, and I understand why, when it comes to league titles and promotions and so on, no, I just want to get it done. I don't care about the home fans and all the rest of it. Come on. It's always better in front of the home fans.
Really weird sensation seeing that, you know, obviously when a big result like that comes and the benches usually are like priming themselves to run on.
Yeah.
So they're all kind of, you know, spilling over onto the pitch. The fans were doing that yesterday.
Yeah, they were.
They were waiting for full time, already out of their seats on the, basically on the side of the pitch.
Did anyone see Luke Moore?
No, I mean, I haven't seen him.
No, exactly.
Have we seen the milky granddad?
Yeah. We haven't heard whether that he drank the 16-year-old milk, which was frozen, of course, those who didn't hear that on Monday. There's a Portsmouth supporting granddad.
That's either a hell of a hangover or a great cheese board, isn't it?
Tries to drink it, and knocks him out. Sliced it up. Who wants a piece? It's incredible, though, that they've been out of the Championship for that long.
Is it absolutely surreal?
Not even the Premier League. The Championship. Yeah, that's how bad it was. I mean, since 2012. Remember, 2008, they won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Was it 2010? They were in the final of the FA Cup. That's what, you know, they plummeted quickly. You mentioned financial stuff. You know, some of the Spanish clubs. I mean, my goodness, don't they know all about that?
Yeah.
Mm. So back into the Championship, which is, you know, there are some clubs that we think of, you know, they're a Premier League club, and obviously you can make arguments or so. And I would say in the league, I don't know, you maybe say 10, 11 clubs you think are probably Premier League clubs, and there's maybe one or two, like Leeds in the Championship. People think of them as a top-tier club, even though they haven't been in the top tier for that amount. I think with Portsmouth, they're one of those clubs who, yes, they have we've seen them in the Premier League, but they are a Championship club.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think really that it feels to me like they've learned a lot of lessons. Obviously, they've had time to learn those lessons. But I think if you look at the last little while, because of course they've come close-ish to becoming promoted before, like in the last couple of seasons, without quite getting there, there's almost been an inevitability to their failure. But you look at like some of the appointments and some of the signings of the last year and a half. Mourinho becoming the coach is big. Yeah, and he wasn't the overwhelming choice. Certainly not of some fans. They weren't massively enthusiastic about it. But they've gone for the right people rather than the names. And you look at them signing Colby Bishop, who's scored a ton of goals this season. Mm-hmm. Marlon Pack, who's come in and done very well and is very experienced in League One and League Two. And it feels as if they've gone for horses for courses rather than thinking, we're Portsmouth, we should be in the Championship.
Yeah.
It's just been a far more sensible approach to it. And this is a bloody hard league to get out of because there are some monster clubs in that division. You can overlook that.
Well, I mean, Bolton, they drew within the other week.
That's right. And there always are huge clubs in
Derby County,
League
just
One.
Below them, of course.
Exactly.
But I mean, John Mourinho as well, we should say that he's only 37. This is his first managerial job, you know, a remarkable start to his career. So, it's glorious. You mentioned Marlon Pack there. He was seen doing a touching speech to fans inside a pub afterwards. He was interrupted by his teammate, Joe Rafferty, who was mooning everyone in the background. One of the finest moments of the man's career, and he's doing this thing.
You can always crop the video. I mean,
he looked really apologetic about it immediately, didn't he? It's like, sorry, mate. This is the one chance I had to get my bum out. I couldn't let it go.
He looked apologetic while he was still pulling up his trousers. Yeah. Didn't he?
Which is a horrid set of events, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. How about in League Two, gentlemen? Stockport County, they have won the league. They're going up. They've done it in great style. We mentioned Wrexham and being promoted at Mansfield Town as well. But Stockport County actually really are the story of that league. Yeah. I mean, 89 points, you know, top of the shop. They've won the league and my goodness.
In clinching it by giving Notts County an absolute hiding. And you kind of assumed at the start of the season that Notts County would be in that Stockport Wrexham zone, looking to go straight through the division as well.
They got promoted from the National League last season.
But really that's the thing. If you look at the budgets, you look at the size of the clubs, everyone was looking at it at the start of the League Two season and thinking, not just Stockport, but particularly Notts County and Wrexham, they're going to be going all the way. And the Notts County have had a very, very disappointing second half of the season. But, you know, they're a big club. They get massive crowds.
Yeah. Indeed, Stockport, though, it's their third league title in five seasons.
Really impressive.
Amazing.
Mm. You carry that up and you'll be champions of the Premier League.
Yeah, there you go.
Beating PSG in the Champions League final soon enough, haven't they?
Sure enough. And if you're not, someone then has
to. Everyone gets a turn.
Before we go for a break, there was a match in Serbia that was stopped recently due to a pitch invasion from a snake. An actual snake. Not some weedy little telltale rat.
Not someone who, not someone who leaves
someone
your club.
Teams, yeah. And pitch invasion is strong, isn't it?
The snake was just sort of...
Not like it was streaking.
Yeah. Also, like
shed its skin.
It wasn't watching. Yeah, that's how it was described. Yeah. It wasn't watching the game and thought, right, now's my chance. It's just it's an innocent bypasser, I think.
Is it natural?
It's not that innocent, is it? Because it bit the referee twice.
Well, some of the decisions that referee was given, Jim. It's about time someone took action. Yeah. The game couldn't resume until the referee picked up the snake and threw it off the pitch. But that's why there was the biting.
Presumably, it's not poisonous.
We genuinely don't.
I just assume all snakes are poisonous.
Nonsense. Snakes in this country aren't poisonous, are they?
They're all bastards, though, aren't they? So they might bite you.
An adder is poisonous.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but if it's not fatal, I wouldn't have thought. Not in this country. Nothing can kill you other than
we'll be finding out on today's Rambling
Cast. Was the adder the bad guy in The Animals of Farthingwood?
Are you thinking of Blackadder?
No.
The grass
you
snakes
thought he
are
got
harmless.
Blackadder confused with The Animals of Farthing Wood.
You won't believe what he gets confused sometimes.
The Animals of
look at his voting record.
It was very much the Game of Thrones of our childhood. The adder was
yes.
I like
the
adder
what
was
shout.
The big bad, if I remember right.
Have you ever seen a snake in this country? I've seen a grass snake before.
Yeah, I've seen a grass
slow
snake.
Slow worm, maybe.
But they are more like sort of worms, aren't they, grass snakes, really? They're quite shiny.
Well, no, but they're very clearly snakes.
Yeah, as in they're not. It's not like a python or something going through the undergrowth. Yeah. I have seen a dead adder before.
Yeah?
Right.
Yes, it wasn't me who killed it, hence because I would have seen a live one. I would have, but anyway, more of that kind of chat on Ramble Uncut. See you in a moment.
Step on its head.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Have you got a fresh box of lemons in the office, Marisha?
Of course, every few days. Now, you know, from the beginning it was difficult because every day I need to change the lemon because... the energy wasn't good, and now they can few days more, 3-4 days, and they stay fresh.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Poch and his lemons. Good to see he's doubling down.
It's all the madder because he's a very good manager. Mm. It's the sort of thing you expect from someone who's not. You'd expect this from Raymond Domenech. You know what I mean?
It's not even the fact he's a good manager. Like he seems like a sane bloke.
Yeah. Apart from this one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I would expect someone like old Raymond Domenech. But I wouldn't have expected this from Poch, but I think we're enjoying it, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, okay, fine. Of course, Chelsea did beat Everton 6-0 on Monday night, and it was the Cole Palmer show once again.
Yeah, it's sort of rare that we delve back a few days to a result like this, isn't
it? I think it's basically...
They just forced their way in here.
It's because of Palmer.
Yeah, incredible stuff.
He plays the game as if he believes he's the best player in the world, but he's kind of like fairly sort of modest about that and not really that bothered, if you see what I mean. He's a remarkable player. The confidence he has, but yet the coolness, and as I say, the sort of non-arrogance, it does come across as confidence.
There's a sense, yeah, confidence doesn't feel right, does it? It's almost like a knowingness.
Yeah, but it's not...
But that is arrogant. So the reason... but not, it's not a bad
He's not dislikable with it.
Yeah.
Is what I'm trying to... Because we think
there's so much arrogance there.
Fine, but agreed. I think when we think arrogant, we think dislikable and...
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And I don't want to say that because...
It's not unfounded arrogance, I think, is the point, isn't
it? Okay. I mean, you know, he's now got 20 Premier League goals, joint scorer along with Erling Haaland, of course. One of the Chelsea players signed Palmer's match ball with the words "shit player." Just a bit of bad.
They're just
there.
Children.
Just
aren't
a
they?
Bit of bad. Yeah. The Lemons need to get their act together because you need to stamp that kind of thing out.
Yeah.
He had to fend off Nicholas Jackson and Noni Madueke, of course, to score his fourth from the penalty spot. Do you know why he started taking penalties for Chelsea? Because he hadn't scored, and Raheem Sterling gave him the ball, you know, back in the start of the season. So that's why he took the first penalty, scored, and then they got another one, forget who it was against, and he said to Sterling, you know, can I have this one? And Sterling let him, and it seemed to be like, maybe we should keep him on penalties, actually.
Yeah.
He scored nine.
He's completely kind of cold, isn't he, with it? So dead behind the eyes.
Like, cold Palmer, they're going to call
indeed,
him.
Well, they do call him that already, don't they? There was the post-match interview after the Man United game with Jules where he was talking about the penalties. I was like, well, it's a penalty. I'm not going to miss that. It's like he doesn't know that you can miss. He's got his cast iron confidence. And the third goal was obviously the most special of them all, an amazing lob. And I thought when he hit that, he's hit that too high. And then it goes in and I thought, who the hell am I?
He turned around.
What do I know?
He pointed at the camera as if to say, I heard what you were thinking there. I know what you mean. I mean, unbelievable confidence, great at penalties.
And a brilliant signing by Chelsea.
Incredible.
Which is funny because if you... I think they've been rightly questioned for some of their signing policy, and they will continue to be because I think it will be quite a tricky summer from a PSR perspective. But I think it's a move where it's worked out perfectly for player and club, and it's given him the opportunity to show how good he is. Because you know what, if he'd have stayed at Manchester City this season, he would have got some games. We wouldn't got anywhere near enough games to be this influential. For him to be able to become the best player in the team, for him to have that, not quite lack of leadership, but there are not so many leaders in that team that he has to defer to someone else. He's been able to take control. I think the penalty situation is quite an interesting example of that. Obviously, everyone's had their say and got stuck into Madueke and Jackson about it. But I think the way that he just like, you know, sort of pushed them away and said, actually, I'm the man.
Yeah.
I think that was really great. Actually.
I love the fact that they just assumed, well, you've got your hat trick, therefore one of us will have this.
But like, why treat it like a testimonial?
I thought Conor Gallagher did quite well in that as well.
Yeah, he did. Because you're right
in terms of Palmer comes in and plays his card basically, and he's like, look, I am the penalty taker, so I'm going to supersede all this nonsense. But Gallagher did quite well. I totally agree with you about Palmer being, you know, obviously a brilliant signing for Chelsea. They did get lucky though with him, didn't they? He was one of the last through the door.
Yeah.
They only went for him when it was clear he was available. It wasn't like they were working behind the scenes to make this work.
I think it can be, but like Mourinho coming to Chelsea in the first place in, 2004, you can have a move by accident rather than design that turns out to be a brilliant one.
Yeah, of course,
you?
Yeah. I just find
it's like they shopped hungry and discovered their new favourite food.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. But there's also an element of like, I wonder what they'd look like if they hadn't have got him.
Yeah.
It'd be intriguing to see how his career goes. We think, crying out loud, it should be very, very good indeed. There are parallels with Phil Foden in that Foden used to be given a few minutes here and there, and he was clearly very, very talented and a very good player. You know, Guardiola used to talk about him in very affectionately and so on. And I remember us saying, well, give him a chance, you know, play him, but he just little by little. And now Foden is you might say, one of the best players in the world. Would that have happened with Palmer? Or, I mean, it's not one size fits all, of course, but perhaps Guardiola maybe had that plan for Palmer. Well, Palmer's jumped ship and he is playing like he's one of the best players in the league. It's interesting to see how things will develop.
Well, it was like the Jadon Sancho situation.
I suppose when you've got so many players,
Yeah, but like Guardiola was like profoundly shocked when Jadon Sancho decided to leave. That really, I think that really set him aback and it affected the way he dealt with young players in the future. But bear in mind, at the start of this season, Palmer had the choice to follow that Foden route, didn't he? Because the club said to him, well, we're not going to loan you out. Either you stay or we're going to sell you.
Cash in on you.
And he chose to go because he felt he needed to go and play. So I think it's sort of like a critical mass, isn't it? He's someone who's taken leadership and responsibility at Chelsea. Mm. One, because that's what the team needs. Mm. And also because that's what he needs. You know, he felt that he needed to go out and play all the time. And, you know, that's why he made like quite a difficult decision. I think it would have been easy to stay and go, yeah, follow that. Not easy, but I think it would have been natural to stay and, like, as you say, follow that Foden route. But he was impatient, and he's proved, I guess, that he's right.
And they're not the same person, so
no, absolutely.
You know, it's, you know.
And Foden did sort of was kind of gradually increasing his appearances over time, wasn't he? I think like it's not a perfect comparison, but actually, in terms of the impact he's had so quickly, it reminds me a little bit of Harry Kane's breakthrough season at Spurs, because it was a player we all knew a bit about. But it was like, oh my God, this guy's the finished article, like straight away.
But
how
Harry
has
Kane
this happened?
Was a bit of a slight.
He was a bit of a figure of fun almost, wasn't he? So, like I say, it's not a perfect comparison, but the sense was that when he got a run in the team, it's like, oh, wow, he's
and Pochettino, like, you know, played his part with Kane.
I was going to say, Jim, are you saying that Pochettino is Chelsea's Tim Sherwood?
Possibly. Someone has to be, don't they?
Yeah,
it's really, really impressive stuff from Palmer. It makes you wonder, you know, is this the level that we can expect from him every season? Or is this a sort of
well,
like...
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Well,
there's something about his character, isn't there, that makes you think this is going to be a guy that's just bangs in goals for a decade.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like an anomaly, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Like, even that first goal, which had a shade of Messi about it, that little kind of like 1-2 layoff, bends it in first time from
little
outside the box.
Nutmeg in there somewhere as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't feel like an anomaly. It feels like there's an intelligence there which kind of lends itself to more consistent play as well. And yeah, it's interesting that Chelsea have become this place where he's emerged. And even someone like Madueke as well, kind of broadly similar. Poch had him at Spurs. He wanted more game time, like coming through there, left to PSV, and like now he's back in the Premier League. It's... Yeah, they're a weird kind of mix of like, here are the best young players in the world who've all gone off and done various different things.
Gentlemen, I've been patient enough. Is he going to go to the Euros?
I think even if he's not selected, he's the type of character that would just turn up.
Yeah.
Like just and sort of assume there's been some sort of mistake.
Manages to sort of score. Well, I mean, the question now is a lot of people aren't saying, should he go? People are saying, should he start? Now, again, you know, you are only allowed 11 in a team and we don't want to overload Declan Rice in there.
I'm having so much fun looking at those teams. Like, well, if you play him there behind the hole next to Bellingham, you've got Foden as well. They can swap.
Yeah, exactly.
Declan's like, yeah, brilliant, mate. Thank you. Cheers.
He's going to be exhausted. People are talking about, you know, Foden, Bellingham, Saka. Presumably he's still the starter because he's been such a great player for England. So I don't think people are saying he should be taking this. You've got Foden, Bellingham, Saka, Kane, and Palmer in the same team. That's what some people are
suggesting.
Well,
it sorts out all the defensive issues, doesn't it? Just don't pick any.
Andy, it feeds into perhaps what we are as, you know, our tradition, get the ball up there. Long ball up to those boys.
The thing is, it wasn't long ago that people were talking about Jude Bellingham as the guy alongside Declan Rice. And I know that you have his qualities further up the field, and it's perhaps a waste of them to have him playing a bit deeper. But is it?
Yeah, well, that's what's... I mean, yeah, in the World Cup, obviously, you had Rice in there and then you had Henderson and Bellingham either side. So Bellingham did play that role where, you know, having that sort of V shape in midfield, if you like, rather than the two and behind the one. So, I mean, you know, don't forget little Cobby, for crying out loud. Yeah, but the fact is, though, if if Cole Palmer is going to go in the squad, you know, you probably do miss out on, say, someone like Jarrod Bowen. Some people think, okay, great. Well,
but not necessarily
mate,
now.
If we get 26 players, maybe
well,
we don't.
I was about to move on to that because that hasn't been confirmed yet. UEFA are considering increasing the squad back to 26, which will save a lot of chat. You know,
and Palmer will be the chief beneficiary of this.
Indeed,
really,
he can go in, we can have that player, we can have that player. But if it is just 23, because it hasn't been confirmed yet, at the time of recording that it is 26, if it is 23 again, I implore everybody to just jot down what you think the squad's going to be, because you will be surprised who you will have to leave out. It's very, very difficult. But it would seem criminal not to take Cole Palmer.
Yeah.
But also, like I say, are you going to drop, you know, someone like Jarrod Bowen or one or two? Whatever, there will be tears unless we get the 26 men in these squads.
Tears of joy on the 14th of July.
I mean, yeah, it's like a huge thing for Southgate because, you know, you're picking who's going to get a medal the Euros,
aren't you? I'll tell you what,
responsibility.
If he does do that thing like he did in the Euros final, bring in a couple of boys to take penalties, if it is Ivan Toney and Cole Palmer, I would feel a bit more relaxed about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely.
However, this confidence and this arrogance that Cole Palmer does have, especially when taking penalties, could England dash all that, you know?
Oh, easily, yeah. Without doubt.
Marcus, they never all miss. They never all miss.
Owen Hargreaves scored against Portugal in 2006. Everyone else missed. Right. Speaking of penalties, gentlemen, I'd like to bring your attention to something that happened in La Liga also on Monday. Ante Budimir had a chance to equalise from the spot for Osasuna against Valencia in the 97th minute. Crucial stuff. He completely muffed it up, though. I think he was trying to do a Panenka.
He kind of stumbled over it.
He stumbles, and then he just basically flicks the ball incredibly tamely towards the goal. And the goalkeeper just looks at him and is like, thanks.
I'm a man who can fall over from just, like, standing still.
Yep.
And I recognise the sort of the lean there, actually. Because he's done the dummy bit of the Panenka, and then he just sort of wobbles a bit. He just has this little unexpected lean and the little flick, and it's just a real shame. Mm. And it might be one of the worst penalties ever taken. Like, it's a big shout, that, isn't it? But it is that bad.
Well, it technically...
Peter Devine. Do you remember Peter Devine?
That was a classic.
The star of...
Nick Hancock's Footballing Nightmares. Yeah. I mean, that was... Yeah, I mean, he barely...
Because he hurt himself.
No, I think he feigned injury.
No, he hurt... Because he kicked the ground so hard.
But I guess the difference is, this was on a carpet of a pitch.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like 20 years later.
The Peter Devine one is basically, he swings at it, but the ball just catches the inside of his foot. So goes about half a foot in front of him. So the ball has gone forward, so therefore it's a penalty.
Yes.
But as his foot stumbles over the ball, it then stops the ball. So essentially he's rolled the ball about half a foot forward. Yeah. So that is easily the worst one. But you could argue that this penalty was on target, so anyone who missed the target...
Well, that's the thing, because Valencia, for example, made a massive deal on their socials of Mamardashvili has saved another penalty. Big up our goalkeeper. As he had to wait for it to come, almost.
They all count.
Yeah. But Andy, if he'd have scored it, he'd have become joint top goal scorer in the Liga alongside Girona's Artem Dovbik.
And it's a lovely story, actually, the Budimir story, because he was like a jobbing player in the second division in Italy.
Mm.
Went over to Mallorca on loan for a season when he was he must have been like 26, 27 at the time. Got Mallorca promoted. Continued to do well in the top flight at Mallorca, then got this move to Osasuna, and here he is. That would have taken him past Jude Bellingham and level with Dovbik.
Mm.
Incredible. Incredible story.
Also, are we sure he was trying to Panenka it?
I suspect... Well, he was certainly waiting for the keeper to move.
Yeah, but I think he was... I think he basically... He needed basically one more step in his run-up.
Did he try to do the Lewandowski stutter, do you think?
Yeah, I think...
Thing I'm certain of is that he was trying to kick it.
And even then, we're not entirely sure, are we?
And he did, Jim, just not as hard as presumably he wanted to. All right, gentlemen, tonight we've got some Champions League action. Again, Manchester City host Real Madrid at 8 p.m. this evening. Manchester City have gone 22 Champions League games unbeaten at the Etihad. That's more than 5 years. And of course, we remember that breathtakingly good performance. Again, To do it justice, possibly the best performance I've ever seen from any team ever.
I mean, they can't do that again, can they? Because that's like once in a generation.
I've got a feeling they might.
Yeah.
Would
you say Real Madrid... I know this is obviously a different Real Madrid altogether, really, in terms of personnel, but...
Not completely different, though.
No, but...
In terms of the
big people in the dressing room that will prevent this from happening, but would you sense that Real Madrid are wary of I suppose, of that, given what happened?
A little, maybe, but...
They've got more legs in the midfield, I think.
Well, exactly,
you
know. Yeah.
I think it was... Yes, they have, and I think it was interesting, a couple of things that Ancelotti did in the last week. Firstly, that he said before the first game to the players, be brave. Mm-hmm. Like, so forget what happened last year and just play your game. I think the other thing is, when you look at the team that he picked at the weekend, obviously he made a load of changes, six or seven changes to line up when they went to Mallorca. The interesting thing is, he rested Vinicius, etc., made Jude Bellingham play.
Yeah.
Because the sense is, and I don't, we sit here in this room quite often talking about how he's maybe the best player in the world, and that's not an unreasonable discussion. It's not been his best over the last couple of months.
How dare you?
And there's been this, how dare Ancelotti? Because Ancelotti makes him play thinking, yeah, you need to play yourself back into form. Because we didn't see great Jude Bellingham in that first game last week.
No, I think...
And they need great Jude Bellingham in this game if they're going
to
go through.
Well, you're right to say, I mean, the first few months at Real Madrid, it was just Roy the Rover stuff, but it's not quite been... That
it's a hard standard to maintain.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, talking about, as Vish and I did, about how I think there's a chance that City repeat this. When I say that, I don't expect them to do another one of the sort of all-time great performances in Europe, but I do think they can win comfortably.
Yeah.
It's just that they have turned the Etihad into a sort of European fortress, as you point out there, like with that, like, more than 5-year unbeaten streak there. Yeah. It's an impossible place to go at the moment. And obviously, this is, as you say, a different Real Madrid team, better, different personnel, but still possibly, you know, scarred by what happened last year for the players that are still there. And City are in that groove at the moment, aren't they? They do become sort of machine-like at this stage of the season.
But I don't know. It doesn't quite feel that they've become that yet, and it doesn't quite feel that they need to become that, arguably. It touches on what you were saying, really, Jim. The fact that what Real Madrid know in their minds and what the rest of football know in their minds is the fact that to go through and to win comfortably, as you say, City don't need to reproduce what they did last year. The reality is, you know, going into this, even against Real Madrid, who are probably the best other team in the competition apart from them, if City play well for 25 minutes, they can win with some comfort.
Well, this is it. I think the advantage they have, and it's obviously been built up over years and years of success, is that you sense there's no game they approach with any anxiety.
No.
And that is probably unique to them in the competition. And that's it. What an advantage that is.
I think defensively, there's something about it I don't... Because last season, they were obviously great defensively. No, good defensively. I think that Real Madrid can get at them as they showed in that first leg. I mean, 3-3 for crying out loud. So, I don't think it will be as blisteringly good as last time, because that standard is the best of all time. But I still think that they can give him a good doing. And I think that Tchouaméni missing the matches, you know, that he will be a miss for Real Madrid. There's no doubt about that. Will Jack Grealish feature? Because he looked quite sprightly at the Bernabeu, and he's coming back into form.
Good cast last couple of weeks for him.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen he's revealed that he has a sauna for at least 10 minutes every night before he goes to bed, which I think that is something that we could predict.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm delighted for him. Well, I just want Jack to have a really happy, nice life, and he's delivering on that front.
I don't like that.
Do you not?
Why?
No? You'd be too hot before bed, wouldn't you?
Well,
he does sit in the garden for 10 minutes, doesn't he? Contemplating, so he says. I know he's thinking very deeply.
Vish, a source said, Jack loves to get steaming. Yeah, we saw at the end of last season. When the time is right and makes no apology for it. But it seems like he's matured. He's discovered there are different ways to spend your time. So
sitting in the garden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, why not?
The idea that he thought, right, it's 7 p.m. I have to go out. I have to go out and get blitzed. But no, there are other things.
Blitzed.
Sit in a sauna. Then in the garden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There are other places to sit, Jack.
Those reporters will leave you well alone. Eventually, if you keep doing that for long enough.
I'm glad he makes no apology for that.
What's
the
steam made of, though? Is it some sort of vodka hot box?
Yes.
He's not Jamie Vardy, for crying out loud.
Is it full of empty balloons?
Oh dear. Both Pep Guardiola and Bernardo Silva have insisted it is too early for Man City to think about another treble.
Oh, shut up. It's pathetic.
Maybe in 2 years' time, but
just
not
get over yourselves. Yeah. Have some dignity.
Oh, dear. Bayern Munich play at Arsenal tonight at 8 p.m.
Really?
They are.
Jimmy, I missed that one.
You should tune in. They've got a few injury concerns themselves, Bayern. Serge Gnabry will miss the game. Kingsley Coman and Leroy Sané are also doubts. You'd be delighted that Gnabry's not going to play, surely. Mm-hmm.
Sané more so, actually, is good, even though Gnabry's
narrative
scored,
with Gnabry.
Sané was, yeah, exactly. Sané was fantastic at the Emirates.
He was.
Until he got taken off.
Yeah, I think that was an injury. Well, because he was really good.
Bassel mentioned that, you know, he's not the best tracker back.
Sure.
So, no. Yeah.
Arsenal do have their own injury worries, of course. Arteta said they will assess Odegaard and Saka today to determine if they are fit. I've got a feeling they will be.
I think they'll be fine.
Mind games, bruv. Mind games.
Yeah, fill them full of gummy bears and get them on the pitch. Come on.
Southgate's reading that, thinking, oh, yeah, I'm sure he is. Yeah.
Now, obviously, you'll be gunning for an Arsenal win, Jim.
Sure.
See what I've done there. Apparently, there may well be some Tottenham fans wanting Arsenal to win this evening as well, because in a strange turn of events, that would benefit Tottenham, because Tottenham are fifth in the Premier League, and if English sides do well in Europe this season, five Premier League sides will qualify for the Champions League next season. Now, I know Spurs fans will go, well, I think you'll find that we want to finish fourth and hope Bayern Munich, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. It is no doubt that it is in Spurs and Villa's interest that Arsenal win this game.
And that's exactly the way that Premier League fans will look at it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Spurs fans, if you're listening, come on board. You're very welcome. Delighted to have you. Actually, I'll extend it to the Premier League as well, because Fulham, West Ham and Spurs have still got to play City. Come on, London. Get behind us.
Well, I mean,
oh, Arsenal. My God, he said it to Boris Johnson.
How dare you? I've taken a lot of shit on this podcast over the years, Andy, but that crosses a line.
Yeah. You are watching the match on a Russian yacht, though, aren't you?
If anyone's taking the underground today and you see, you know, a rival fan, say hello.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Smile.
Exactly.
Maybe a nice firm hat and check as well. Wish them all the best. Yeah. But I think I'd like this this call out, Jim. I think we all need to get behind Arsenal, especially those of us who live in London. And do you know what? I think the rest of the country loves getting behind London. You know, they really like
it. Brighton's often called London on sea. A lot of people commute from one to the other. They can get on board as well.
Yeah. The northern cities, they're
always down having a look, aren't they? always down.
I think we've just
have a chat.
Exactly, yeah. I think we've just ensured that Bayern Munich have made a few extra shirt sales in parts of the kingdom.
I was perfectly polite.
Can I ask if you could put your, I mean, I suppose you've already put your Arsenal fan hat on, but I was speaking to another gooner yesterday. And they were, because of what happened on the weekend, they were like, well, I'm going to brace to lose this. And I was like, what? You were in such good shape during the first
leg. It did feel a bit doomy and gloomy after the weekend. I mean, Pete Donaldson has written off Liverpool and Arsenal for the Premier League title.
Yes, he has.
I kind of understand that, though.
He says a lot of things.
He does, yes. Mostly that we edit out. But
he's not alone in that, is he, though?
No, Andy, there are some people who, quite frankly, in this operation, shouldn't have a microphone in front of their face. stay with football. How do you feel about it, Jim? Because I think Vish raises a fair...
Yeah, well, I mean...
Or that particular friend of his does.
With my Arsenal hat on, I do have to try and remember that, you know, football moves very quickly and changes very quickly, and that, if Arsenal play well tonight, it might suddenly seem like a surprise result because of what happened against Villa. And a lot's been made of the fact that that Bayern Munich and Aston Villa set up in what would be known as a mid-block in modern football parlance, to sort of congest the middle a bit and kind of break the structure of Arsenal there. So that's something that, you know...
Long ball over it.
Has been very... that's something they're going to have to adapt to, I think. And actually, maybe having that twice in a row with how forensic Arteta can be might actually be a good thing to some degree. I think, you know, the really, really important thing is about playing the game and not the occasion.
That's
not being nervous.
Yeah.
Because that's what led to really both goals, I think, at the Emirates. Mm-hmm. Both were so avoidable.
Little mistakes
can absolutely kill you in the Champions League.
Exactly. Let's remember, Arsenal are good enough to win this game.
That's it, Andy. Give London and the whole of the UK something to get
They
behind,
are good enough to win this game, and they are good enough, Jim, to stop Bayern playing the bloody can-can.
Well, see, this has been years in the making, this, isn't it? As long-term listeners of the show will know, I do think it's the funniest thing in the world that when Bayern Munich score,
It's not every goal, is it?
I think it's every goal.
Is it every goal?
It's sometimes the eighth goal, Marcus. Fred Flintstone shouts yabba dabba doo. They play the can-can and they all run around like having a brilliant time where the away fans are sitting there thinking, yeah, we're just a joke to them, aren't we? We're just a joke.
I'm hoping to not hear it tonight.
They play it for far too long.
Andy, I want them to win tonight.
No.
Sorry, I'm breaking.
I want Arsenal to win. Yeah. And I want...
Consolation.
5 minutes is called a consolation on the 90th minute. And then
I'm still playing.
Yeah. We're contractually obliged to play Fred Flintstone into the can-can.
Yeah, but dabba-doo.
It's a big test of Arteta, really, as well, because Thomas Tuchel is very, very good in the Champions League. He's been in the final a couple of times. He's obviously won it as well. And these are the kind of... It's a very unique environment, isn't it? And we've seen Arsenal have been less than convincing in the away games in the Champions League. So there needs to be a massive, massive upturn in form in that specific scenario tonight. So,
if I may, to spin it somewhere, when people talk about the Villa game... The Villa game can actually sharpen the mind and focus.
Well, absolutely.
Because you kind of think to yourself, right, come on.
Okay, we do have some flaws that maybe we've not been aware of.
Exactly.
So it makes you tighten up. And the thing that you have to do based on the first leg is tighten up. They can win the game, absolutely. It's going to be a big ask because of the experience of Bayern, regardless of the season they've had. Tuchel's been talking about not necessarily wanting the ball that much as well, which might be mind games. It's going to be a very interesting game from behind the sofa.
And just to add to that, Jim, remember, a draw... It would go to penalties. That sounded like Vicious Brother there, didn't I?
You did, actually, yeah. Halloween.
Have you played? No, whenever Man United lose a game. You've sold the listeners this, haven't you?
Yeah, but he laughs. He giggles like a maniac.
But it is kind of like a kind of sound.
Yeah, I'll play it on Uncut.
Play it on Monday. Because no doubt he'll have sent you a new one.
Yeah.
Let us finish with some good news, some justice that has been done. It's particularly Saudi justice. Now, usually that is...
Christ.
But the Saudi FA are to review their fan code of conduct after that supporter was seen whipping a player in the Saudi Super Cup recently.
They have a spectacular code of conduct,
right,
apparently.
Okay.
No whips.
Not unreasonably, I don't think they thought to put that in.
Wow, well, that a loophole.
As I say, well done them. Well done, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patron subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. And if you're not a patron subscriber, do sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. Also, follow us on X, because that's what it's called now. TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. And follow us on Spotify. Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thanks.
Thank you, Vidushin Hantharaja.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Enjoy the soccer ball tonight.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.